My name is Holger Zimmer und ich habe einen Zungenbrecher. I got a tongue twister for you in German. 8 alte Ameisen aßen am Abend Ananas. Which just basically means, very sweetly, 8 aged ants were eating pineapple in the evening. 8 alte Ameisen aßen am Abend Ananas.
There's a ton of fun and interesting things to do in San Francisco any time of year. Kimberly Lovato joins us now to get the real flavor of the city that the locals enjoy, away from the tourist zone at Fisherman's Wharf. Kimberly is the co-author of a handy guide called 100 Things to Do in San Francisco Before You Die. She takes your suggestions at 877-333-7425 as we explore things to include on your San Francisco must-do list. Kimberly, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
San Francisco is so iconic in so many ways. I mean, you can think about music, about hippies, Chinese heritage, the gold rush, gay culture, great cuisine, and the sights give a visitor gateways into each of these fascinating slices of San Francisco. So your book, you've got 100 places. It's just a fun book to page through and get ideas for a visit. If you're thinking about America's oldest Chinatown, what sort of site would you want to see?
I love walking around Chinatown, and it's someplace I love to take out-of-town guests. You know, one of the greatest things I did recently, because I hadn't spent a lot of time exploring Chinatown, and I took a walking tour of Chinatown with a local from the neighborhood who walked us down alleys. Of course, the Golden Gate Fortune Cookie Company is a great place to go. You just follow your nose. She talked about the different types of families that lived in the neighborhood. Back in the day, we tasted tea along Grant Street. We went to eat dim sum at the oldest dim sum restaurant in America. It happens to also be in the oldest Chinatown in America.
So it sounds like a walking tour is a good way to lace that all together.
It is a great way because a lot of people stick on Grant Street, which is totally fine. It has the beautiful red paper lanterns and whatnot. But there is actually a lot to see off the little alleyways and other streets.
Let's talk now about the gold rush dimension of San Francisco. Of course, there's no gold in San Francisco, but in 1849, all sorts of people rushed to California for the gold rush, and I think San Francisco probably made more money off of that than the gold miners themselves. What do you see in San Francisco that evokes those days 170 years ago?
Well, of course, we have the San Francisco 49ers that evoke those days, but one of the things that I recommend people do, and I kind of do it myself in small pieces, is we have here the Barbary Coast Trail, and a lot of people who walk around San Francisco might see these brass, basically they look almost like compasses or stars in the sidewalk around downtown, the financial district, and there are actually 180 of these, and they kind of trace San Francisco. They go from the Old Mint through the financial district, Chinatown, Jackson Square, up into North Beach and Fisherman's Wharf, and you might stop at the Pony Express headquarters site or the first Asian temple in the U.S., the Old Mint and Gold Rush Museum, in fact, with some stagecoaches from the Gold Rush.
Whoa, so this is 180 points that are indicated by little brass medallions in the pavement, and you can just literally walk along that trail and learn all about...
Yeah, and there's a downloadable map online that you can do half of them if you want. You can do the whole thing. It's a great way to kind of get out and walk around, too. I think San Francisco just happens to be a great walking city as well, as long as you're not going up the hill, and most of this is flat, so it's great.
When I was a little kid, San Francisco was famous for hippies and the Summer of Love and Hate District. What do you see today that people might want to get nostalgic about that? Where would you go and what would you see?
I would definitely still go back to the Hate. We call it the Hate-Ashbury, you know, the famous corner. But Hate Street is still a great place to walk around and pick up your own tie-dye and, you know, peace glasses and whatnot. And you still see, you know, a lot of different characters. And it's also a great place to walk around.
And there's a rock and roll history museum at the Fillmore.
Oh, the Fillmore Auditorium. So that's on Fillmore. And that is obviously a fantastic place that has seen legendary bands come through there over the years. Even though it opened in 1912, it didn't become the Fillmore until, I believe, the mid-50s. And one of the greatest things, of course, besides all the famous bands that have come up through there, is the posters, the concert posters that are up on the mezzanine level. And you can literally walk through rock history
so
by through
like
these posters.
Yeah.
It now, is, yes.
No, San Francisco was a big deal for gay culture back when it was more difficult to be homosexual than it is now. And to this day, the Castro District is a lively quarter. What would we find in the Castro District if we were touring San Francisco?
I have to say, a lot of great restaurants and shops are there. The Castro Theater is a fantastic place right on Castro Street. And if you haven't seen a movie there, it's one of those old cinemas with the organ. It's famous for its Castro sing-alongs, which are fantastic for families. And people dress up in costume and really get into it. Of course, in June is Pride is celebrated here. Right. I think it's one of the biggest ones in the U.S. It's been going on for 49 years, I think, this year.
Something that San Francisco is understandably proud about is its cuisine and its food. And I noticed 25 of the top places to see or experience in San Francisco were actually places to eat in your book. Talk a little bit about the food. What's a San Francisco sort of classic that you want to be sure to eat?
Oh, well, for sure, a San Francisco classic would be a bowl of chipino, I think. It is a seafood and fish stew that has a tomato sauce base, a lot of times Dungeness crab, which is also another San Francisco treat, if you will. We're in the Dungeness crab season right now, and people love to go down to the wharf and eat that. Mexican food is a great must-eat in San Francisco, I think, especially the mission-style burrito, as we call them here.
So what is a mission-style burrito?
I call it the hefty alter ego to a normal-sized burrito. It's about the size of a forearm, if you will, and it's stuffed with meat and rice and beans and everything else you can imagine, and it's rolled up and it's huge.
Sounds like you could feed a family with one of those.
You could feed a family, for sure.
And for Chinese food, you were talking about going through Chinatown. What was the highlight, or the edible highlight for you in Chinatown?
In Chinatown, I mean, I love dim sum. Like I mentioned, Hong Ah Tea Room, it's the oldest dim sum restaurant in the United States, and it's also very affordable. Egg tarts are something great to eat in San Francisco. They look like little lemon tarts, but they are custard tarts, and people line up at the Golden Gate Bakery to get them, and sometimes they have them, and sometimes they don't, so it's a little bit of a mystery as well.
Let's say if you're interested in booze, and you want to do something classically San Francisco, where would you go?
Something classically San Francisco that I think might surprise people. We have great bars here, no doubt. I can't keep up with the bars. Rooftop bars are a big deal right now in San Francisco. But if I were to say do something in San Francisco to get a drink, I would say go to a tiki bar. San Francisco loves its tiki bars. Of course, we have the Tonga Room, which is the classic at the bottom of the Fairmont Hotel. But there's always a new tiki bar opening up. I mean, Smuggler's Cove and Pagan Idol are popular ones here in San Francisco. But
are those popular with tourists? Or are they popular as a local hangout?
No, with locals, too.
Really?
People love to go tiki, yes.
My goodness. I'll put that on my list.
Call me up if you'd like to meet for a Mai Tai.
I didn't realize that. Okay. Now, I know food trucks are really trendy, well, all over, but I think of food trucks a lot in California. What's your advice for food trucks?
Yeah, one of the things I love, that we have the Soma Street Food Park. It's in the south of Market. It's actually a fixed food truck park. Another thing that's great to do in the summer is in the Presidio. The Presidio is beautiful, and there's an event called Off the Grid, and it's very family-friendly. It happens on Sundays, I think between May and October. Maybe 30 or 40 food trucks line up. There's live music often. People can just pack their picnics. They can bring their dogs and their kids.
All right, this is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm grilling Kimberly Lovato on her book, 100 Things to Do in San Francisco Before You Die. Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and Ed's calling in from Valencia in California. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Rick, how you doing? Hey, Kimberly.
Hey, Ed.
Thanks for your call. What do you have in mind for San Francisco, Ed?
You know, I wanted to recommend something to your listeners that I thought was just absolutely phenomenal in downtown San Francisco, and it was the Market Street Railway, which is the streetcar system, the E line and the F line, which actually goes along the Embarcadero down to Fisherman's Wharf. It goes down the Market Street. I think it goes close to the Haight. I'm not sure the end of the line there. And then it goes south toward the ballpark and down toward the Caltrain station. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful way to see the city, to see the downtown area. It's, I think, $2.75. They have a museum that's very close to the ferry terminal. And it's just a wonderful way of, you know, they're rolling historical landmarks in their own right. And some of the cars are actually from Europe or Australia or New Zealand or China. Some of the cars are foreign cars that have been refurbished, in addition to cars from all over the big cities in the U.S. that had streetcars.
He makes a good point. I mean, these are not the cable cars that everyone knows, but those historic streetcars are wonderful. And the E-Line is the one you're talking about. And I think it goes from AT&T Park, and it basically goes all along the water, almost to the wharf. So it's incredibly scenic. You can get on and off if you want. And there's a lot of stops now along the water that 25 years ago used to not be there. The ferry building, the Hands-On Museum is now along the water. The cable cars are also, those are a San Francisco must. I mean, you can't come to San Francisco and not ride.
What's the is the difference between a streetcar and a cable car? Just the cable car is on a hill and it has a cable powering it?
Well, the cable cars are actually pulled by cables underground. Right. So okay. There are three cable car lines that go around the city, basically, and they are actually pulled by a hook and this cable on the tracks.
And you hear that rattling under the street, even when a cable
exactly.
car's not there. Hey, Ed, when you're talking about those streetcars, the E line is the one that goes along Market Street. Does that actually stop at the Market Street Railway Museum?
Yes, it does. Actually, the E line, I think, is the shorter one. I think it goes from the ferry terminal down to the ballpark and to the Caltrain station.
Uh-huh.
The F line, I believe, is the one that goes all along Market Street, then goes right by the museum.
Oh, okay.
It'll be on your right if you're taking it toward the terminal, the ferry terminal. And then it goes along the Embarcadero and makes a loop at Fisherman's Wharf and comes back.
Now, have you been to that Market Street Railway Museum?
I have. It's a very small, it's not a very large museum. There's no admission charge, but it shows you all of the history connected with just the streetcars that San Francisco used to have, a plethora of lines that went all over downtown. And the streetcar lines just crisscrossed all over the city, all the way out to the Cliff House. And it's just a phenomenal place. Highly recommend it.
Thanks for your call, Ed. Good tips.
You're quite welcome. Good talking to you all.
You
Bye-bye.
Bet.
Thanks, Ed. Yeah, he's right. It's the F line that goes up. They kind of meet up at the San Francisco Railway Museum, and
okay.
the E line goes south, and the F goes along the railway. Huh. So,
all right. Our guest on Travel with Rick Steves is Kimberly Lovato. She and Jill Robinson co-authored the guide, 100 Things to Do in San Francisco Before You Die. It's part of the Local Interest series from Reedy Press, which highlights things to do in dozens of cities across the United States. Kimberly also wrote a culinary travel book about the Dordogne region of France. It's called Walnut Wine and Truffle Groves. You'll find a link to her website and books with this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Jerry's calling from Los Angeles. Jerry, thanks for your call.
Hello, Rick.
Yeah, you have a thought or a tip on San Francisco?
Oh, I got a big tip. Let me tell you, I love San Francisco. I live in Los Angeles. And I think one of the most golden things about San Francisco is the free tram that runs from the Oakland airport to the BART station at the Coliseum.
Mm.
And what I like to do is I like to fly it up there just for the day.
Mm.
And it's so easy to do and relatively inexpensive. And I just fly up there to Oakland. It has to be Oakland. Take the free tram to the BART station and the BART right into Embarcadero, downtown San Francisco. And then I go to my favorite museum, the Exploratorium. And I just have a ball. I spend the whole day. It's just a very cheap, easy, no motel, no parking fees, no car to rent.
Huh.
And then I turn around and come back after the whole day at the museum. I turn around and come back to L.A.
Tell us about the Exploratorium Museum, your favorite museum in San Francisco.
Well, it's a hands-on science museum with interactive exhibits. It's a museum of science, art, and human perception. And what I like about it is it teaches things about, like, how vacuum works and how inertia works and physics. I find that stuff interesting, so I just say, hey, I got something to do for the day. I'll go up there.
So you've done Disneyland, and you can try something different, probably no more expensive.
About the same price, surprisingly enough. You know, what you have to do is get your favorite airline and get online with them, and sometimes they'll let you know about low airfares and cheap
right.
fares, and you just buy up a whole block of them, and boom, it becomes a fun thing to do. Once a month I was doing it. Once you get to the Embarcadero, it's a springboard for the rest of the city.
Yeah, and paging through Kimberly's book, I was just thinking, San Francisco, its middle name is entertainment, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's just a top-notch city.
All right. Jerry, thanks for your call.
Well, thank you, Rick.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Kimberly Lovato. Kimberly, do you know the Exploratorium?
Oh, yes, I do. So I used to live by the old Exploratorium when it was in the Palace of Fine Arts, and it's in a much bigger, grander, much more modern facility now on the Embarcadero, and it's lovely, and it's great for families, it's great for kids, and they even have a, I think it's called After Dark, Exploratorium After Dark monthly cocktail party for just adults.
Well, very nice. Jerry can take the late flight home then.
Exactly. Or just spend the night one night.
Right. All right. Hey, Monique is calling in from West Newbury in Massachusetts. Monique, thanks for giving us a ring.
Hi. One of my favorite things to do in San Francisco is to walk across the Golden Gate Bridge. I had read before my trip that they're constantly painting it just because it's such a large project. And on this particular walk across, we could hear and smell the painting going on down below us. We could hear the sounds of the crew spraying the bridge. And so it was kind of neat to experience that. And then later on, I had noticed that there were tiny little spatterings of paint all over my camera and on my pants that had just kind of flown up in the air. And so it was a really interesting souvenir that I'll never forget.
Oh, I love it. Did you know about that, Kimberly, getting little orange dots on the when you hike across the Golden Gate Bridge?
I had no idea. And, you know, the funny thing is I know that it's painted all the time, and I have not experienced that. But now I want to go back, and I want splatters of international orange paint on my camera.
you know, that's one of the most memorable experiences I had, is hiking over the Golden Gate Bridge. It's an amazing, beautiful experience. It seems to be designed to have people come across, and I didn't know about my orange splatter either, but it was certainly a good experience.
Yes, definitely a great souvenir.
Now, the Golden Gate Park would be something you could tie in with that. Tell us about Golden Gate Park, Kimberly.
Yeah, I mean, Golden Gate Park is not close to Golden Gate Bridge, but it shares the same name. But Golden Gate Park is truly a place to spend a day. Maybe Jerry from Los Angeles will spend a day there next time. It's a wonderland. It's larger than Central Park. They have great museums in there. They have lakes. I mean, you can rent a paddle boat in there. They have a resident herd of bison. There are windmills. My favorite building there is the Conservatory of Flowers. And it's a really just wonderful place to walk around. Beautiful flowers. There are concerts there. Great concerts in the summer are held there. One in August and one in October. And playgrounds. I mean, it's a wonderful place.
All right. Hey, Monique, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Do you still have the orange dots on your pants and camera?
Well, the pants were maternity pants, which I don't wear anymore. And I have a new camera since then. So,
you need to come back.
The time that I did have them.
You go back for an upgrade on your dots.
Yes.
Okay, take care. Thanks for your call.
Thanks. Bye.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Kimberly Lovato. Her book is 100 Things to Do in San Francisco Before You Die. We could talk all day about San Francisco, Kimberly, but we're out of time. And let's just close with you suggesting to me and our listeners, if you've been going to San Francisco and you've seen Alcatraz and you've done the Embarcadero and you've done all the predictable stuff, what's the best day of seeing things that we've never heard of? Lay out just a short list of things that you'd say you just, nobody knows about these things, but they're great.
Well, I have two that I can think of. So you mentioned Alcatraz, and I absolutely think it's essential to go. But what a lot of people don't realize are there are these beautiful gardens on Alcatraz that prisoners and officers and their families took care of when it was a working prison. They lasted, and now they have been maintained, and there are actually docent-led tours of these gardens. So I think it's the softer side of Alcatraz that no one knows.
What a surprise that would be. What a delightful way to compliment
a delightful
visit
surprise.
To this 20-year-old prison. Yeah, and what else would you do?
I love going out to Land's End, so I'm not sure if people know where that is. It's at the western edge of the city. A lot of people have probably heard of the iconic restaurant, the Cliff House. But the ruins of the Sutro Baths there, and there are these beautiful just walking trails. I mean, you can walk all the way along these cliffs and bluffs and beaches and have an extraordinary view of the Golden Gate Bridge as well. And within seconds of getting out of the hustle and bustle of the city, you're at this beautiful, where the city meets the sea, really, on the Pacific Ocean, and it's really extraordinary.
Wow, that sounds great. All right, Kimberly Lovato, thanks so much for giving us an insight into a city you clearly know very well, San Francisco.
Thank you for having me.
All the places only make me love you best. Tell me you're the heart of all the Golden West. San Francisco, welcome me home again. I'm coming home to go roaming no more.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tappan, Isaac Kaplan-Wilner, and Kazmira Hall at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington. Thanks to KERA Dallas and to Sports Byline USA in San Francisco for studio help this week, and to Sarah McCormick for editing support. There's more online at ricksteves.com/radio.